that wants to come and address the board is welcome to do so. State your name, residence, and 3 minutes. Anyone wanting to come up and address the board this morning? Hey, Sean.
Good morning. My name's Sean Farmer. I own the kite shop down the Embarcadero, and I've been affiliated with the Kite Festival for the last 7 years. As many of you know, I have not applied for the money to put on the Kite Festival this year. The reason being is because of personal and business reasons, I don't have the time to do it. I've looked for somebody else to try and take it over. Nobody's jumped up and volunteered. I'd be glad to help with lining up the kite flyers and doing stuff, but I just don't have the time to do what it takes to make this festival operate this year. So I'm here to say that if somebody'd like to take on the Kite Festival, I'd be glad to help them with it any way I can. I just don't have the time to do what needs to be done to make it a successful Kite Festival.
Mm-hmm. What's the date for that? Is there a date?
It's always the last weekend in April is what it's been. So whatever that date is, that's what it's always been. And I got to say, I've had a lot of people calling vendors that want to come back. They thought it was very successful. But like I say, I just don't have the time because of business reasons to do the Kite Festival this year.
I just want to thank you for all the effort you put in last year, but it's maybe short notice to have somebody to fill in at this time. I'm not sure if anybody going to volunteer to fill in. Is there any way you could at least organize it this year somehow and then maybe look to change down the line, you know, for next year?
Well,
this is a great program. I really like to see this thing fly, you know.
I really like it also, but like I say, because of the meetings and stuff with the city and the permitting, and it takes me away from my business, which I need to concentrate on right now. I would love to, like I say, I'd line up the kite flyers. I'd help with the calling and getting the motel rooms. Anything I could do, I'd pay to be a vendor. I just don't have the time. I've tried to find replacements. I talked to Peter. He couldn't do it because of conflict of interest. I'd let Michelle know earlier in the time, and I didn't know until about a month ago. I really wanted to do the Kite Festival, but just with the things the way they are, it's just... But like I say, I'd be glad. If somebody would jump on and help and be willing to go to those meetings and stuff, I would help them do the Kite Festival. But
yeah, right.
I have been unsuccessful to find a replacement.
You know what? I'll check with our Rotary Club. They might be able to jump in. I'm not sure. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in April with our local Rotary Club, but I'll touch base with them and see if they could step up maybe.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow, that's pretty sad. I was here to tell you guys that we have our music festival coming back. Instead of going away. So it was gone all last year. We weren't ready for it, but we are having it the first weekend in June. It's a one-day event, and we have applied to move it to Tidelands Park, and there's going to be a fee of $2, minimal fee of $2 for admission, and it's all-day entertainment. They're all local bands, local meaning within the county. And so that will happen on June 7th from noon till 7:30 at night, even 8 o'clock. We'll have vendors. We'll have food. It is a one-day event this year, and it's basically seed money for the Harbor Festival. We have the website set up via the Morro Bay, mbhf.com. You can go on there and be able to see the schedule of bands that are going to be on there. So it's going to be a great event, and basically we're hoping to raise between $4,000 and $5,000 to get ready for the Harbor Festival, and that's our goal is to do that, is to have that net profit. Just to piggyback on what Sean was saying, that event has really taken off for the last couple years. You as the board can direct the staff if you don't feel there's a conflict of interest. I know you only have one to assist in the logistics part of this, administrative part of this thing, because he's not saying he can't help you with the festival event, putting it together. He just can't get the logistics going. And I got to tell you, that's one event we don't want to lose to Pismo or Cambria, because that's what's going to happen. It's a great, it's a great event, and, it fits our mode of what we want to do here. So you guys hopefully will come up with something. And, Nick, I think that's great, that Rotary, but Rotary is more of a logistics dead day event. And Nick's saying he'll take care of that day, but he right. just wants people. I mean, I'm sorry, Sean, but he's basically saying he needs help with putting the event together with the city and the logistics part of it. Okay. And you guys, more than welcome to. I mean, you guys can direct the staff to do that for us. Okay, and it is a 2-day event, so thank you.
All right, thanks, John. Anyone else wishing to address the board this morning? Okay, we'll close public comment period. Now on to board announcement to look for the further into that. But the website is now owned by the Bureau, so that, I think that's a real good thing. So those are my two announcements. Anybody else have board announcements to my right?
I just wanted to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day, a happy President's Day. The town's going to be pretty busy this weekend. That's a good thing. And just to beware and make sure everybody's healthy this weekend and drive carefully.
Joe?
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, I'd like to announce that there's a lot going on in town this weekend where you can support the young people, pardon me, the young people, the youth of our community. The Morro Bay Community Foundation is having a event here. It is Love Letters by R. Gurney. It's a dramatic reading of letters that a couple writes to each other over the span of their life, and that's happening the day after Valentine's Day, Saturday night, and doors open at 7:30. It's a $20 ticket, and all proceeds go to benefit youth sports and recreation scholarships provided to the kids in Morro Bay, Cayucas, and Los Osos, our greater Estero Bay. 100% of the proceeds go directly to the children's and youth sports and enrichment activities. Additionally, this weekend is the Morro Bay High School Baseball Crab Feed. So if you're hungry for some crab, head on down to the community center on Saturday night. They have their crab feed. And for more information, you can call Morro Bay High School at 771-1851. So go down and get your crab. They are red, so perfect time for Valentine's Day. You can have some red crabs for Valentine's Day. And then there is the Big, the Bad, and the Ugly surf competition out at the Rock. And that is fantastically benefiting Project Surf Camp for kids with special needs, and also the Burn Foundation. So we would love you to get out there and support these groups that support children in our community. Again, Morro Bay Community Foundation, Love Letters. You can purchase tickets by calling Recreation and Parks Department, Crab Feed, call the Morro Bay High School, and Big, Bad, and the Ugly, show up at the Rock with your surf gear. Thank you.
Thanks, Joan. To my left. Okay. John? Okay. So let's move on to the next item, approval of January 9th board minutes. Any changes? While we're looking that over, you know, I want to compliment Peter on doing these minutes. This is over 5 pages of minutes right here. It's like a short novel every month. So I appreciate that, Peter, your hard work on that. Thank you. Any changes? I look for a motion to approve them.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes for the January 9th.
All right. May I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. The next item, report from the Sustainable Funding Committee. That would be John Myers and Joan Solu, I believe.
I have to get to the right papers. Hang on 1 second.
Good morning, and as you know, you assigned John and I to be on the Sustainable Funding Committee. We supplied a report to you. We have attended several meetings, several telephone conferences, worked together to get a good grasp and good understanding, sat back and really listened to what the rest of the county was thinking. And I attended a really fantastic meeting. I think our board had quite a few concerns of what the overall county board might look like should a TMD, a tourism marketing district, for the entire county move forward. I think that over the last month since our previous meeting, we've had a lot of our concerns and questions answered in terms of partnership with what folks are thinking out in the county. So the report was provided just to give you some information on that. The determinations for the public, I'll read a little bit of this. The following determinations and recommendations who are assessed as part of the TMD, one from Arroyo Grande, one from Atascadero, one from the county of San Luis Obispo, one from Grover Beach, and that's the county unincorporated areas, I'm sorry, one from Grover Beach, one from Morro Bay, one from Pismo Beach, one from Paso Robles, and then one individual from San Luis Obispo. Further, to get to that 15-person body, there would be seven more representatives that will apply to a nominating committee who would vet the candidates to ensure diversity. There would be one individual designated from vacation rentals, one from bed and breakfast, one from RV parks, and then there would be four members at large. All of these people have to be part of the pool that's assessed. So this would allow Morro Bay actually the opportunity to have three people on the board. Conversely, there could be a point where the county, would only have one member and Morro Bay might have three, or where Morro Bay would have one member and they would have three. So it's very fair and equitable in how it can work out. And while there's no perfect solution, as the group moved forward and had really, I think, some great in-depth discussions on this, one thing that kept being clear was that no one in the county really wanted it weighted by funding. If it were weighted by funding, Pismo would have two or three, Paso would have two, the county would have two or three seats, and someone like Morro Bay and Grover Beach might share a seat. And at this point, we have the opportunity, if we have good, solid volunteers from our lodging industry who want to step forward and put themselves out there to be on this board, we have the opportunity to have three people placed on there just like a Pismo or the county or anyone else. So it's an equitable way of moving forward. The Morro Bay hotels have several options that they can select on the subcommittees to determine the most important decision will be, John and I discussed this in depth, the most important decision for Morro Bay from a hotelier standpoint is going to be whether we support a TMD or whether we're going to deny a TMD. A denial would determine that Morro Bay Tourism would not have an opportunity to participate for an additional 5 years. The ordinance is a 5-year ordinance. So if the hoteliers or the city decides that we don't want to work as a team and that we don't want to move forward, then we don't have an opportunity to jump in and move forward as a team for another 5 years. And the county can move in a direction without us. So that's a consideration. Support would mean that the hoteliers and the Tourism Bureau would need to work together to determine where the hoteliers would want 1% TMD funding to come from. John and I discussed that there's three logical formulas to create a 1% TMD should the hoteliers want to contribute from Morro Bay. The first area would be a 1%, you know, it's straightforward, it's a 1% additional assessment. Separately funded from the current Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District assessment, creating a 3% Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District plus a 1% County Tourism Marketing District for a total combined assessment of 4%. That's a choice. Another choice would be a 1% additional assessment funded at a 0.50 from the current Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District assessment funds that are allocated through our current contract with the City of Morro Bay to the Tourism Bureau, and create an additional separate assessment funding of 0.50 to help to create a 1% pass-through. So this would mean that from our current funding, we would pull out 0.5% and bank it. Then there would be an additional TMD that would be created at 0.5%. Those two would be married, and there would be a 1% push-through to be part of the county effort, the county TMD. Alternatively, there's choice number three, which is a 1% assessment funded totally from our existing 3% assessment funds, reducing the funding to the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau to 2% and shifting the final 1% of the TMD. We need to ask them for a consensus on direction. If they are not interested in denial, if they decide to deny that they don't want to move forward with the TMD, then there's no more work to do. If they decide that they want to move forward with the TMD, then they need to decide which approach they'd like to take. And then we approach the city to see if we can put a team together and if this is the direction our community wants to go. So those are our conclusions. And then there's a fiscal impact report, which I will turn to John to cover.
I first of all, I have to say that I was out of town for the last month, so Joan did most of the work, so I appreciate the effort she put in very much. Attached to the handout is the fiscal impact report. This is really the budget impact report. The way I've stated or shown it is current year 2014, projected 2015, where we projected a 5% increase in assessment revenues, and then assumed that the new TMD would take effect in fiscal 2016. Probably not exactly correct, but close. So we're really comparing the budgets for 2016. Option A, and really the intent was to say, after the impact of the TMD, how would it affect the budget of the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau? And I'll just go real quickly through this, that under option A, which in Joan's words was the denial, it would have no impact at all, so our budget, assuming we kept the visitor center and regional marketing funds, would be $894,000 versus a budget this year of $831,000, the increase being the growth in assessment funds over 2 years. Option B, again, nothing would change because the 1% would come from the additional 1% assessed through the county TMD, so there would be no impact on the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau budget. I'm going to just go to jump all the way to option three, which was if we took 1% of our 3% and gave that to the county, effectively what that does is reduce the Morro Bay Tourism budget by one-third. So for the fiscal 2016, our budget would decrease to about $679,000 versus this year, $789,000. That includes $216,000 of visitor center money and regional marketing money. So anyway, this is really put together for the rest of the board in anticipation of hopefully the board says, let's get together for a couple of hours and talk about this. This is the kind of the numbers background that we're providing to you to help in that deliberation.
All right. Well, I guess what we can do is have some discussion, and then maybe if there's a consensus, we could move forward to make a date for a two-hour meeting. I'll just start off. I have a question because the TMB, which we're calling it now, that they use funds that include vacation rentals, bed and breakfast, and RV parks, correct?
Correct. What they would be doing is following the municipality ordinance. So in Paso Robles, they're quite like Morro Bay. They only assess their hotels.
Okay.
But the county T-bid, the C-bid, we commonly refer to it as the C-bid around here. Okay. The C-bid collects from vacation rentals and hotels. In Pismo, they collect from hotels, RV parks, and vacation rentals. So in Pismo, all three of them would be assessed. In Morro Bay, hotels would be. So they would mirror the ordinance that you currently have, or that the municipality currently has.
So you're saying that they would not assess our vacation rentals, bed and breakfast, and RV parks in Morro Bay because we don't as a city?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have a comment, question?
I do too.
Okay.
I should go around.
Let's start. Do you guys have any questions?
Okay, first of all, my first question is, are Arroyo Grande and Grover already, have they done their bids? Are they upcoming?
They just went online, and Tascadero just went online as
so
well.
So all these cities now
they're
have
all
bids.
Online.
Okay. Who makes up the nominating committee?
So where you see the 1-1-1-1-1-1,
right.
one, those ones are selected by Morro Bay Hoteliers. So we can determine, we write into, I guess, our ordinance that one can be the chair of the board if that's what the hotel body wants. It's written into our section. Just so it could be somebody from the bid to include vacation rentals and RVs. And I believe this is coming up as a discussion actually also later. You have to completely redo the ordinance, or they could choose to create their own bid and come in with a separate ordinance. So somebody would have to determine that would be the direction they wanted to take. There would have to be, and usually it's the municipality, so it would be our city in our case. The city would go back and do outreach, focus groups, workshops with those folks, sit down with, Andy and the gang and all the vacation rental owners. There's, I think, about 150 of them here in Morro Bay. And sit down and speak with them about value, concept, and whether they were interested or not. And then, again, quite like this, they would have to determine whether they were interested. Denial would mean that they do nothing. And if they wanted to move forward, then they would put the concept together of what percentage they wanted to do and what their board makeup would look like, just like we did.
So the two options would be that the city would start working with vacation rentals and RVs to modify the existing ordinance, or in creating a second ordinance that covers them.
Correct.
Can I just add something to that? This is something also when we go into this two-hour meeting, we can further discuss, because we also have the option to underwrite, promoting the change in that ordinance. The
right.
T-bid can do that.
Absolutely. That's why
but
I asked
the other
information.
We can adjust
to
our
meeting.
Ordinance.
Yes. But the other thing is that I want to add, which I'm thinking is pretty right on, but I don't know. But if we also decide to change the T-bid ordinance to make some changes, it would require a vote of the people that it affects in total, including the hoteliers. And we might be at a pivotal point where the hoteliers don't like what's going on here and may completely decide to get rid of T-bid. So I think that's something else. So
okay. First of all, thank you. I think it's a great report. Thank you, John. The numbers are really good. There are a few things that I'm really concerned. I really don't think we're really even possibly ready to tax another 1%. Yeah, but again, this is not my call. It's got to be everybody else's input. But and the other thing I want to make sure, last year when we were talking about the TMD group, we were all concerned that what do we get from these people? And then we were really debating, should we even fund it at all? And in the end, but we decided, since they're going to make us a member automatically, maybe there's a saving in there, so let's fund it again. So, and the reason I'm biggest concern, all of these cities that right now they're going to participate is on the 101 corridors. We are Morro Bay on the edge, and Cambria and Caicos, which they're not even, Cambria, Caicos not even represented here basically right now.
County, they're the county
part
unincorporated.
Of the county, that's right. But they're really, as a, you know, as a lodging facilities, they're not represented. Having said that, we are always been getting offload of the main cities like Pismo, San Obispo, and Paso Robo, because they have convention center, they have larger facility, they just have a just much bigger pull on their area. So us to commit to fund one as a city, we're really not even prepared to be one of the game players. We're a small fish in a way, even to this pot. So, and if I look at the structure of 15 member, we're not even 10%. You know, one out of the 15, we're representing ourselves as a group. So, to put that money, if we have to assess, I'd rather see that money goes to, you know, structures of the town, the main street, the Morro Bay Boulevard that shut down at 9 o'clock. I can't get a coffee in this town except I go to McDonald's after 9, you know. So we're in this situation that we're supposed to really put that fund into something in town so we can make this town at least for the big cities versus us. So we're always going to be in a second position. That's
all
my
right.
point.
All right, wait.
Jane.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have a couple questions. If we decide to move forward, does City Council have to approve our decision?
If the hoteliers decide that they want to move forward,
right.
then we go back to the city and approach them.
If
but
the
there's no point if the hoteliers
T-Bid, we want to go forward.
Right. Then the hoteliers go forward with the help of the county.
But does the council have to approve our decision?
Absolutely.
That's
mm-hmm.
I was just curious.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think on that one is if the hoteliers decide option A not to participate, that's the end.
Right.
So
well,
council,
no. I'm.
They,
I said
if
that
they decide
if we
to
decide to participate. And increase by 4%, then does City Council. If we decide not to increase and just have the 3%, you know, and then take 1%, we're not increasing. Okay. Two, if, let's say we go forward with all this, that we get the stakeholders' approval, let's say that there's a 4% assessment or even 3% assessment, it's in 4 years or 3 years down the line, if the T-Bid is disbanded for whatever reason, our T-Bid, does the TOT get assessed?
It's up to the
city. TOT is totally separate and unrelated.
So my question is, what happens if T-Bid's not around? What happens, how does the county get their money that they were, if they've been committed to for 5 years? I'm just curious.
If there's an additional 1% TMD, there's an additional 1% separate TMD.
So
if if there's a separate TMD that's a 0.50, there's a separate TMD that's a 0.50.
Okay, so that clarifies the other thing. So basically, if we decide that we're going to create a TMD, okay, a TMD can exist without a T-Bid. We can create, Morro Bay can create its own TMD, correct? That's what you're telling me.
No, what I'm saying is Morro Bay can determine to be part of the TMD.
But I'm asking you, well, then I'm going to go back to my original question. My original question is, let's say we say this is the only way to go, this is so good for us, we're going to commit to a 5-year 1% funding. And let's say that in 3 years we dissolve our TBID here.
Mm-hmm.
So my point
is... In 3 years, if we dissolve our TBID here,
uh-huh.
The city has a 10% TOT, which goes to the general fund, and if there were a separate 1% TMD, that separate 1% TMD would still exist, and it would go to the countywide effort.
So basically...
They're separate and unrelated.
So what I'm saying is if the TBID is no longer in existence, I just want to understand this. If TBID is no longer in existence, and so we're not collecting 3% or 4%, whatever we decide to do, and we have still committed for 5 years to the county, because we're signing a contract for 5-year funding, and there's no more TBID money being collected, and the hotels in general are only paying 10% to TOT, where's the 2 years of that 1% coming from?
Okay, so you're saying if we absorb the 1% and suddenly our TBID goes away, is that what you're asking?
Even if, well, from what you're saying is there's not going to be a 3%, 1%. You're saying it's all going to be TBID funds. We may increase TBID by 1%.
No, I'm sorry, Jane, excuse me.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
So there's actually four choices. There's do nothing, we do nothing, we don't participate. Then the next choice is we have a separate and additional 1%, and that exists in 5 years no matter what. Whether we exist or not, that exists.
Are we collecting it as a TOT or an MTD?
A TM, it's a
whatever
it's
is.
Separate.
Think of it this way.
Or BFD.
Think of it this way, Jane. This might make it clear. If we pay the 1%, if we pay the 1% out of our current assessments actually for TBID actually go to 2%, and 1% is actually TMD. If we do it at 1.5, our current would go to 2.5, and we'd still have a 1%.
No, I'm getting that. What
okay.
I'm trying to say is. Is there an option of leaving TBID the way it is at 3% and creating a new marketing bid, which would include the hoteliers, VRBOs, and RVs? We will then know what kind of money is going to be available in the operating year.
So you're asking for a pie chart breakdown on where the marketing money will go. Okay,
I know it
exists because I've actually seen it.
Right.
I did not bring it back to you.
Not the first year. She had it for 5 years.
No, I understand
that. Yeah, I want to see year one, year two, year three, year four, year five, which means that administration should be down, marketing should be up. Okay? So my other question is, how will Morro Bay directly benefit? And the reason I ask that question is because I've heard it lately of many tours and many marketing campaigns that have completely bypassed Morro Bay from the county. And so I think we need to know that. That's over 5 years. That's the five-year, but not year one, two, three, four, five, breaking it down. Did you guys understand what
no,
I said?
I missed your last question. I'm sorry.
Okay. I said, how will Morro Bay directly benefit in marketing? Directly benefit. And the reason I bring that up is because lately I've heard of a few tours and a few marketing efforts that have been done by the county that have completely bypassed Morro Bay.
You mean from Visit Slow? I mean that they put together?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's that, and I also, when it comes down, I would like to know the assessment impact to our funds directly if we do just holding the 1% out of the 3% and don't go up. I'd like to know what the impact of funds will mean for all of our destinational marketing. And
that's on this sheet.
Okay, I know, but I couldn't really figure that out because I guess that We're also increasing, we're suggesting to increase our administration costs also with the hiring of a new DOT. And the other thing I had a question about is this assessment, does that have anything to do with the way the county is running its website with the separate hoteliers or Sabre? And I think it's the answer is no.
So, I'm sorry.
So, in other words, they have a website with hoteliers on it?
Yeah, I think this is all part of the in-depth stuff that we need to get into.
Yeah, the two-hour meeting.
Yeah, those are some of my questions.
Why don't you put your questions into an email format, shoot them to John and
I have.
And we'll drill down
on
them.
Yeah, I have.
You have them in email?
Uh-huh, it's already sent, yeah.
Okay. And so we'll drill down on some of them and try and bring you that information back to the special meeting in the essence of time today.
You know what I forgot?
If you don't mind.
No.
What I forgot to mention also is the public can comment on each of these specific items. So if anyone in the audience wants to come up and say something or ask questions about this executive, 3 minutes.
I was hoping you'd say that. I'm Johnny Biagini of Biagini Marketing Strategies, and I just had a couple of questions on this whole issue. Is there a timeline yet developed, and you know what the county would like to have this assessment brought to fruition? And then I think the discussion has already brought up some answers on, or at least some discussion about the actual program that is being proposed by the county. Is that a viable program that Morro Bay would want to participate in? But the last thing that I have to say is that I really think, even though, and I appreciate the fact that the TBID is going to go back to the hoteliers to discuss this, I think it needs to be more than just the annual meeting. I think you need to broach the subject maybe at the annual meeting, but have a specific hotelier meeting just for hoteliers to discuss the merits of this program. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Shani. So do we want to try to plan a date right now for that two-hour meeting? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. I just want to try a little bit to answer your question before we get into the date. So the timeline to the Visit SLO has already sent their funding request forward for the 2014-2015 fiscal year. So the goal is to have this up and running by the 2015-2016 fiscal year, which I think is a pretty aggressive goal. Thankfully, I'm not carrying a torch on this. To me, to answer your question about when would this come to fruition, this needs to happen, to me, inside of Morro Bay. This needs to happen organically and be driven individually by the hoteliers. And the start of that conversation is probably at the annual meeting where we bring it up, you know, maybe have Stacy speak, show her marketing plan that they've put more focus into since they heard back.
Do it on television, because I think it would be great for the hoteliers to hear the discussion.
It's a good idea.
I think I like that. They can even come in.
So if we do, then it would be, we would have to go through the steps of making a public public announcement for a meeting and stuff. So do we want to try to plan that right now? Or do we want
to plan our own meeting?
For the two-hour meeting, right?
Oh, because we're going to publicize that, right?
Right, if you want to have it here. So
we have to check on availability of room. I'm sorry, what did you say, Peter? Item 11 is a separate special meeting because there's never, you know, enough special meetings to go around.
What meeting was that?
So we're talking about a two-hour meeting that's open. We're talking about broaching with stakeholders in the stakeholders' annual meeting, and then if we see positive response there, having a follow-up workshop mm-hmm. with stakeholders?
Correct.
Okay.
So are we looking maybe in the next month or before our next TBID meeting?
I think how about 2 weeks from today?
Okay.
I think sooner the better, certainly.
See, and today's
well before the shareholders meeting.
So we're looking at the 27th of February?
No, not yet.
What is that?
27th of February.
If, well, we could do it at the, we could still do it at the bureau office. Can we get AGP at the bureau office?
It's been my understanding in the past that AGP is pretty mobile and can pretty much go anywhere. They do set up at community center. They set up here.
Oh, yeah,
they've set up
at
City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's not open, we could
works.
Maybe go
oh, here's
community
AGP.
Center or something. Okay.
What, is that true?
That's a nod.
That is true. We're hearing it. That is true. Okay. Thank you.
Perfect.
So the February 27th from 9 to 11?
That's like Thursday.
Yes. 2 weeks from today.
I can make 11. I can make 11, but I cannot make 9.
All right. We can do 11 to 1 also.
Yeah, 11 to 1 I can do.
February 22nd was Saturday.
No, I'm sorry, 27th.
27th, oh.
Yeah, 2 weeks from today.
So are we going 11 to 1? Is that what we're doing?
That's a Thursday. Yes.
Right, 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from
burritos.
Oh. All right. I'm getting a nod.
Iron Chef is catering.
I'm getting a nod from everyone, so okay. Should we just go ahead and pencil
11
that
to 1.
11 to 1.
And
again, this is the two-hour meeting to discuss this program and whether we want to go forward with it, and if we do, what option would we want to go forward with?
So we have to make sure Stacy can do that.
I will invite Stacy, right.
Yeah. And can we be sure to get that posted on website when we have a location set up?
Yep. Yes, because we have to make a public announcement for that also. So, and do we have to have an agenda also? Probably. Opening a can of worms.
Marking meeting on Tuesday here with TV. Then we have these three meetings, and then the next meeting.
Let's move on to the executive director's report. And it's my understanding that Karen Moss, our interim DOT, is away on assignment. So we're going to have Peter go through her report. So, Peter, it's your. I like your tie, by the way.
This is just a media release that we just recorded.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
Good morning, everyone. I'm the executive assistant, Peter Williamson, and like Nick just said, Karen Moss, the interim ED, could not make it. She's in Fresno for a Go Red for Women luncheon. I'll try to keep this update short and informative. So on the screen, you can see a recent Valentine-themed e-blast that we did. This was sent at the end of January, and here's some statistics from that e-blast. It was sent to 11,070 contacts, had 3,607 opens, 20% open rate is what that the message for the Silverado bus route. And we want to convey a sense of location and experience with this route. This campaign will receive exposure throughout California and Nevada. We're hoping to repurpose the bus route on our Highway 1 billboard concept. And we recently submitted a visitor's guide ad with an article promoting revitalization, events, and celebration in Morro Bay. And, of course, that ties into the 50th anniversary of Morro Bay. And this is also being formatted into a new RAT card, as you can kind of see there on the right. And recent publicity, of course, you have the media release for the bike map in front of you, so whenever you have a chance, you can take a look at that. That did go out. And we're also working with the Valley PBS in Fresno to provide a Morro Bay weekend for their spring auction in exchange for 50 promo spots. So that's a nice B2B. And then also, we've been busy strategizing and assisting Morro Bay Bands on the Run, Morro Bay Triathlon, and Cal State Parks 150th. Specifically at the bottom, the Summit to Sea is pretty exciting. It's T-Birds. They're going to plan like an event up there, and then they're going to drive all the way from Yosemite, up there being Yosemite, from Yosemite down to Morro Bay. So it's pretty cool. And you see a lot of traffic with the 150th anniversary coming towards Morro Bay, which is the 50th anniversary. Really cool tie-in. More on that soon. And then unfortunately, Ed also couldn't be here today, but here's some January statistics. You can see last year we had 451 visits. This year, 923 visits. And 108 calls last year versus the 177 calls this year, which is pretty nice. Probably attributed to the weather would be my thoughts. Obviously, we had ridiculous weather. Too nice. The Winter Bird Festival and also increased marketing probably have something to do with that. Thank you all. I'm happy to try and answer some questions or address any concerns at this time.
Thank you, Peter. Any questions from the board?
I just have one. The bike map, is that available for hoteliers to have? Is there...
Absolutely.
Was the first print large enough to where we could go down to the visitor center and pick up a bunch for the desk?
We're actually going to be delivering bike maps, so you might not even have to come get them. That should be happening either today or tomorrow. I can make sure you get some if you send me an email or something. But more than likely, it'll come your way.
Any other question?
Will you be delivering them on your bicycle?
If I was doing it, absolutely.
Just mention something. They had another accident in Santa Maria on a bike, and it just constantly people getting hit every week. So please, when you're driving, be careful with the bike. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have the right of way, and you know when they get hurt, they really get badly beat up.
Agreed. Don't hit me when I'm on Highway 1 coming to work.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments?
Do you know what the drop date is on the new billboard? What the deadline is when you have what's been set for that? I know we've talked about it several times. I'm just wondering.
I don't have a specific date. I'd be happy to get that information for you and send you an email.
Okay. Yeah, I just am curious because I drive that quite a bit, and I see that, you know, it's especially, you know, it's funny. You think that weather beats something up, but having this really sunny winter has really beat up that billboard. It's, you know, it's fading it faster. For some reason, this last one, yeah, it's sagging. It didn't really hold its color. It was a new technology to try and whatever, do this loose banding thing that they did. But anyhow, I was just curious what the date was on that. I was hoping that it would be before spring break when we get a big flux of people traveling.
Yeah, I'll definitely get a deadline for you.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Peter, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go to our next item, which is the marketing and website status report from Mr. Sorgenfrey and Mr. Turton.
And
Casey.
Good morning, everyone. So I think at our last meeting, we talked about the inability for people at home to see, so we did a little PowerPoint.
Thank you for that. Very visual.
That being said, I'm going to go ahead still and pass out this handout because it has a little more defined budget. San Jose Mercury, have made commitments with the Bakersfield Life and Google AdWords, YouTube, all of those are still tactics that we're currently doing, and you'll hear about the results of those from Rick and Casey in a moment. As the creative subcommittee knows, we're in the process of coming up with some new branding ads and creative. We have a meeting on Tuesday to talk about concepts. One of the the things that we're finding is there's, and this is something that I experienced when I worked with you in the past, we have some incredible photographers in this town. We have some incredible assets. However, that being said, those assets particularly pertain to scenics. And what we need is we need dining shots, we need activity shots, we need, you know, people enjoying Morro Bay, and we need people. And we have yet to really find a resource for those. So at this, not to kind of jump ahead, but when we get together at the Creative Subcommittee, I'm going to suggest that we do a photo shoot to accommodate that. And we do have that in our design budget because we haven't really utilized that as yet. So basically, the Creative Subcommittee will look at concepts. If they like where we're headed with that, then we'll start going on a photo shoot and fulfilling that. And one of the things, if some of you that work with me in the past, we always secure total rights to those photos so we don't have to worry about paying usage in the future. That becomes property of you, for your board, for Morro Bay, and that's how we'll seek that when we do the photo shoot. So we have complete control over all those photos. And then those photos also will be repurposed into the website so we can give a nice little refresh to the website, and we can share those assets also with the hoteliers that they might want to utilize on their websites as well, because, you know, the more good imagery we have out there that everybody shares and we're all have a commonality to that, really works out well. So that's kind of an update on where we're at. If you have any questions, if not, I'll bring Rick and Casey up to go through the PowerPoint.
The only question I have is so I understand you correctly, so we're going to do a photo shoot. Your agency is going to contract to have a photo shoot done. And
with your guys' approval. I mean, we're going to talk about that at the Creative Subcommittee.
Right, but assuming that's going to go ahead, we've got to get moving on creative.
Right,
so.
Absolutely.
So the ownership of those photos, again, will be the bureaus?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's and as you recall, when we stopped working with you guys, we turned all those photos over. My feeling has always been that you buy them, you own them. The agency doesn't own them. And as long as you're up front with the photographer and you pay, you know, they would require additional payment for that, but it just makes the process seamless. And that's also true for video tactics, everything that we are doing. So we always negotiate that up front. And I think that this will be a very good investment to have these photos. And we do have plenty of scenics, and we want to utilize our local photographers as best we can. But unfortunately, you have to stage those dining shots. You have to stage those activity shots to really make them come across the way you want them to fit those concepts.
Right. Any other questions?
So with that.
I did have one other.
Sure.
The Visit to California, and I think we've talked about this before, co-op, is that still remaining simply because we haven't been billed by BCB at this point?
Well, that is actually the state. That's the state of California.
Yes, the Visit California.
Yeah, I'll check on that.
Yeah, the Visit California.
I'll check on that and see.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll check on that. Okay.
All right.
Casey, you want to start?
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Hi, Casey.
Hi, good morning. So I'm just going to go through my usual report, and we have a couple of bullet points. Key points up on the PowerPoint. So this is an example so everyone can see and those who are at home of what an example of what one of the Facebook ads look like. It's a social Facebook ad, so it includes your friends and if they like the page, and it reaches out to, it shows me who of my friends on Facebook also like Morro Bay, with the option to like the page or click the link, which directs them directly to morrobay.org. We've had some really good return on that. We've just so far this month, which hasn't been the full month yet, we've reached 76,749 people. And that's so if 100 people saw the ad, then the reach is 100. So that's exactly how many people have seen the ad. The impressions are 130,495. And then the impression is if 100 people saw the ad two times, then the impression would be a count of 200. So it's about a 1.7 ratio of reach to impressions. And then the clicks, 1,967. And then unique clicks, 1,855. Our fan base is just under 25,000. I think, especially with the Facebook ads, we'll really be reaching that pretty soon, probably within the next couple of weeks. So keep an eye out for that. It's a big milestone for us, and really excited.
For those of us that have Facebook pages and we see this come through, would you recommend that we like it and share it, or so our friends can see it as well? Or?
Definitely. That's always an added bonus for us. And then maybe one of your friends hasn't liked Morro Bay's
right.
page, and it'll help get the word
so
out.
So what's the difference between liking it and clicking on like? It'll show up on all your friends' streams, I guess. And then what if you share it, though? What's the difference between that?
If you share it, it posts to your personal timeline.
Oh,
so
okay.
If one of your friends wanted to go to your page and see what you were up to, they would see it on your timeline as a post.
I see.
And it also, both of those show up in the news feed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And then for TripAdvisor, just a couple of stats. This month, for January, 2,637 page views, 60 video views, 101 photo views, 44 map, and 84 link clicks, and 62 on the events, and then just over 4,000 media impressions. And then I don't have a slide for Pinterest and Twitter and Instagram, but I have been going on there and doing the usual postings and updating events, and on Instagram, focusing on sharing fan photos because the imagery gets a lot of return. And for YouTube, we just started the Facebook ads, so I don't have the stats for that. January, we had that month off. So in February, I'll be coming at the next meeting with the February stats for the YouTube and what the video views are and what the reach is for that.
Just one question. What's the difference between the unique click and regular click?
The regular click is the just total number of people. Unique click is if three people click the ad five times, it only counts three. So it counts per person. So if I went on and clicked the ad different links five, six times, it would still just count as one click, unique click. Does that make sense?
I've got a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Our ultimate giveaway, I'm assuming it can be entered either through Facebook, becoming a friend, or email through website or wherever else we have it. Do you have statistics on what we've gathered in terms of friend? Rick's raising his hand.
Yeah, Rick
okay.
will have that
very
information.
Good. We'll get to him then.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else? Sure. It made me think when Nick mentioned this, I just wanted to tell you that I went to the State Tourism Conference down in Pasadena, and it was very informative. And the principal part, I guess the resounding theme of that whole conference was social media and how social media is, you know, here to stay and how people are utilizing it. And probably the couple of things that I took back from that, probably the most significant was it's about content and it's about sharing that content. So I think it made me think of it, Nick, because that's what's really important. It's not only about putting out a post, but it's also getting people engaged in it and getting them to write about it and then having more people write about it. And that's really where the value comes from. The probably the most frustrating thing is, again, trackability. You know, how many of these fans equate to coming and buying a room, getting a room, staying a night. So that's always the difficult part. And even the experts up there had difficulty in bringing that ROI back. But what I would say to that is that, you know, one of our principal things that we need to do is brand the destination. And that's what happens with this Facebook, because it's not just us telling people how great it is. It's about their friends telling other people. And so the YouTube thing was also a big part of that. YouTube now, and I think I've shared this with you before, it's been this way for a while, is now the most searched engine next to Google. So people are going to YouTube, and that's how they're finding, making their travel choices, obviously other things. But travel is the number one category used most by YouTube, which is really interesting. And as you know, we're involved in YouTube ads, and we're going to be suggesting some new videos to add to that library that we have.
Any other questions?
I have a quick question. If we have all these folks looking at us and somebody comes along and says, oh, you know, I went to Morro Bay, but I expected to find a disco. Of course, we don't have a disco. And so I didn't find what I was looking for in Morro Bay. Do we have a way? I really don't know. Is there a way to, like, cull that, or do you just kind of bury that with good comments? How does that work? Are we able to screen that off there? on our page? I have no idea how that works.
Confused, but are you asking if somebody commented and said they didn't find what they were looking for?
Something. So we've got all these great comments because, of course, Morro Bay is fantastic. Nobody would ever say anything bad about Morro Bay. But just in case somebody was looking for a disco and we didn't have one, is there a way that we could get that out of there? How does that work?
Are you referring to Facebook?
Yeah,
still?
Facebook. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the good news is we don't really get many comments saying.
The numbers are like January was, if we put it into last year, the visits would be the third highest month. The hotel page views, which is.
Is this, I'm sorry, Rick, let me interrupt you. Is this January then?
January, year okay. over year.
Okay.
So 2014 compared to 2013, 17% mm-hmm. up in visitors. 95% page views. I mean, you know, so, I mean, obviously, Peter mentioned it earlier, is a lot of the marketing forces came together to kind of do this kind of a thing. Obviously, the referrals are the biggest thing to me, is up 30%. So, you know, it's all good right now. We just got to keep the momentum going. Mm-hmm. And quick question, Karen, before I forget your question. 1,800 people have signed up for the getaway since we put it up. Basically, we had a big blast at the very beginning in first part of January, and it really went ballistic, the number of signups. Now it's about, I would guess, 8 to 10 a day is coming in. So we're building the email list, and then I port it over to Peter once a month, and he ends up adding it to Constant Contact because it's a different collection area, so we can keep the stats really clean. But it is working really well. So then the other thing is if you go to the next slide, Kate, look familiar, Joan?
TripAdvisor, TripAdvisor.
He's going to hand out.
Sorry.
Okay. This is a new thing that we're tracking now, and I'll wait until you all get it because it's really interesting, fun stuff. I'm turning to my page. This is TripAdvisor. What this is showing us, and this is a weekly report. Pretty much, and I've only done it twice. I didn't, you know, just to see a trend line because, you know, I mean, I could do it weekly if it really becomes important, but right now I'm kind of limited on my hours and I spread them really thin. But in November, and this was the week ending 11/17, that week, Morro Bay was researched on TripAdvisor 6,253 times, which was a 7% increase over the week before. And this is what I find really interesting, and Joan and I talked about this on the phone, is the dates searched on TripAdvisor. And you can see in that November time frame, it was really spread out equally between that current month, the next month, and the January or later. But then drop down to the latest report, where the numbers are up for another 1,500 searches. But look at what everybody's looking to book. Obviously Easter week, I would guess. So there, hopefully this report would be valuable in our marketing efforts and also in the individual hotel efforts to see what people are looking at. I mean, TripAdvisor, you got to remember, backwards here, social media, the three things that are in descending order that makes a booking possible that people are looking to book, in descending order of importance, TripAdvisor, Facebook, and YouTube. So those are the big three. So obviously we want to keep track of what TripAdvisor is doing and, you know, the searches on Morro Bay, and then we can plan ahead. I mean, obviously right now, if something was to come up that we wanted to say, hey, let's really try to promote the April and beyond type of thing because 60% of everybody on TripAdvisor is looking for it, we could come up with something, you know. But right now we've got the beginning of the data tracking on this here, and I feel this is our first really good glimpse behind the curtain at TripAdvisor to see how many Morro Bay is being searched, brand awareness there, you know, top of the mind awareness on that stuff. So I really am excited about doing this going forward, and so I'll add this as a monthly part of the report. Yeah, thanks, Joan. So that's it, unless anybody has any questions or anything. Or I know Karen will have something good here. I always look forward to her questions.
In our TripAdvisor sponsored page, Can we embed in there, like we do, I'm sure, on Facebook, on some of the other areas, are a link to our specials and deals for hotels, since people use TripAdvisor for hotel
availability? We do have a link to the lodging specials page.
Okay.
You can add individual promotion links, but there's so many that there's just one to the overall landing page.
We do have one overall. Great. Yeah.
And also, Karen, if you look at the stats that we sent, I don't know if you have a copy of it, but our traffic sources is now added a fourth category called social, and you can see that it's 2.44% in January. But then when you you go down and it down below referring URLs, when you look at social referring URLs, you can see TripAdvisor is our number one referral to the site of 213. So that's probably a result of some of those clicks on the specials and other things that we have. So we're now tracking that.
I think it's the number.
So did you guys see that? Karen saw it on her copy. And it's running through click tracks because that's all of it. You know, that once again is probably leading 1,500 visitor sessions right now. So there's a big jump in our gains over last year. So that's something that's working there. I don't know, John, do you know what we're... I don't know all the times that the promotions are running. I just track the results of it.
We did a promotion out of the category for website banner advertising, and it's a program where you get like price, you know, Priceline.com, Forders, Travel and Leisure, all Western states. They guarantee 25 click-throughs. It was a 2,500, excuse me, click-throughs. So I think that's where that program came from.
Oh, okay.
So it's basically they your banner ad appears on all those different websites, and it's targeted just to the West. And then they guarantee it's through National Geographic Travel or through our rep there. I had one. Can I make one quick comment? This is back to the budget. And probably would be good if I'll probably maybe get John on the phone. We can go through this because if you would look at the website, you would see that it looks like we've expended our dollars, but this is not reflective of this. We had two budgets. We divided up the website funding between the city or the regional budget and this budget. So those numbers in a couple of categories need to be added to this. And I've checked with Karen. She hasn't expended anything for website because that was originally intended for our agency to do. So just wanted to cover that. So that's we'll have to sit down and figure out how we want to take those budget numbers. That's also true for YouTube ads because we split the money up between or allocated some money out of the regional budget. If you recall, we had a certain amount for website out of regional and a certain amount out of the TBID. So we're going to need to figure out how we want to work that. So
I noticed that, John, since I have we're looking at the same page, under Facebook ads, it doesn't look like it looks like we did expend. Okay. I answered my own question. Thank you.
I know we need to talk anyway, John. I'll
give
you a call.
Any other comments or questions?
I have a couple questions for Rick.
Go ahead.
Rick, I have just a couple questions for you. I'm not sure how to get a work order done when there's something. We got shot an email about something that was existing on the website that might need to be moved due to, you know, expired date. And then there was a question I had last time, and I'm not sure. I know you're responsible for making the fixes once the fixes are brought to your attention. I don't know in our group who's responsible for looking at the website every week to make sure that when you press on that button, it goes there. When you press on about, it doesn't go to the Harbor Festival and the Oyster Festival. When you press here or there or whatever, it goes where you're supposed to be going and that the information is right. I don't know who's responsible for that, how we put a work order in to get that fixed and what our system is. And I don't want to shoot blindly across the bow.
I think I can address that. It should be everybody. Honestly, I mean, everybody, whenever you have an opportunity to look at the website, you see something that is not working, if it's broken, whatever. I mean, even the let us know and we will, you know, fix it immediately. Whether it's, you know, Peter's fix or us, I mean, copy us on everything and then we'll make sure it gets done. But it's really about, you know, as many eyes on that website that you have time to go through it and you see something that, you know, is glaringly wrong or needs to be fixed. as soon as we find out about it, you know, as many people that can discover that, the better.
Well, I totally agree with you, but I'm just wondering who's in charge of going through that regularly. I don't know, you know, looking at the front site of the site, so that there's less housekeeping or whatever, or less of 50 people corresponding trying to get.
Well, hopefully they're not going to have that many
not
problems.
Not 50, but you know what I mean. I hope there's 50 people looking at the site, right, though, but you know.
I think it, you know, that's something that we'll have to talk with Karen's, you know, with Peter and Karen. I mean, they were going to be involved in changing day-to-day type things. If there's an issue with technical problem, that's probably more Rick's purview. So it's
okay, because I did bring up a couple of times the about button leads, instead of going to about Morro Bay, it leads to the Oyster Festival and the Harbor Festival. And I don't know if that ever got cleaned up. I saw last week that it was still like that, and it's been a while, and I just don't know how to get that done.
Here's what we did with the about. We wanted to have a landing page for the Harbor Festival, and so we did a child. In other words, the parent is still about. You can click on that and go to the about page. But then there were some children in there, so you moused over the about. You can get onto the Oyster Festival and the Harbor Festival. It was just a good SEO type of place to put it instead of putting it in another spot where it couldn't be seen so easily. So that's one of the things we've been doing. Let me get back out of that, and because the more eyes on the website,
that
the better.
Makes sense. He's our local guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Perfect. So we'll shoot emails to Peter, and then between the two of you, you'll figure out who cleans up whatever needs to be brushed up. Whatever pillow needs fluffing, you'll get on the house.
That's what we're kind of doing right now.
Okay.
Anything else
awesome.
For me?
I think Jane might have some.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jane. Didn't see your hand up.
Hi. The one thing that has been asked of me by a couple of hoteliers, and actually Joan had brought it up once, was that on the general hotel site, if you click it, it rotates. It just automatically rotates, so that everybody gets a chance. Can that mechanism be in place for the specials?
Yes, it could. We haven't had that request yet, and it's just going to take some programming into it. One of the things we're finding overall is that overall your WordPress template, which is built on a city type website template, is not real flexible. Peter and I push it around on occasions, and we find out, gosh, it would be nice to have it a little more flexible. But it can, anything can be done. It's just time and coding type of thing. And so, you know, that's,
okay.
It could be if,
yeah,
it's a request. You know, there's not a whole lot of specials that are there where you've got 30, I'm making the number up, 30 hotels that need to be randomized. That's why we didn't randomize the special page, because there's not a whole lot of specials there, and it's not, you know, really scrolling but that much. But, you know, request is a request.
Well, I think that would be important. It's like when Joan brought up, where do we send requests? I think when we get a new it's my opinion only, but when we get a DOT in place, when we need to filter things through one person, if whether it come from stakeholders directly or whatever, because something like that, if it was to be considered, you just gave me the answer. We didn't need to do that here. We could bring it up at a meeting, say this is it, and also there's a cost involved,
mm-hmm.
which all has to be brought into the budget.
Right.
So I think that would be a good thing to start have requests being funneled into one person instead of people calling people directly for, you know, certain things, because it just it's not the best way to operate.
Right. Anything else?
You know, we also wanted to open it up to public comment as well. We might have some more questions, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, Ken McMillan, restaurant owner, Morro Bay. One of the things that I think we all worry about is service. We want people to come to Morro Bay as tourists and have a good time. And by a good time, it means every one of our businesses are there ready to provide that level of service. One of the things that we're sadly lacking, if you're, any one of you as business people are trying to figure out what's coming down the road, what's next weekend going to be like, Do you need extra cleaning people on? You can get that information because you get reservations. Not everybody in Morro Bay, including myself as a restaurateur, take reservations except for larger groups. So let me tell you, you're going to find us roaming through your parking lots on Friday and Saturday trying to figure out what's going on this weekend. That is a sad, sad state of affairs. You are the leading indicators for every business in Morro Bay. You have information, which is your reservations, that tell us we need extra people on, we might want to stay open later, we might want to really do something special. And as you promote events, some of these events go really low-key, and we find out about them because there's a lot of people in town. That's how. But guess what? We found out about them after the people came to town, after they stood and had a 45-minute wait to sit down and eat, mm-hmm. because we didn't know about that. So what I've been after for about 7 years, not you folks, but in general, is a database where we take 10 hoteliers, 15, I don't care how many, and you're all anonymous. There's no identification of to which hotels are which, but each week you can put in, maybe update a reservation database that every business in Morro Bay, and we're going to go and see one number. It's going to be 75%. What that tells me is last year it was 50%. That means I've got to be prepared more than I was last year for the business this week or weekend. So an anonymous, statistical, single piece of information that gets updated continually, we would really appreciate it. Because let me tell you, we need the staff to meet the demand. And if we're not staffed meeting the demand, then we're giving lousy service, which means people are not coming back to Morro Bay. They're not coming to stay at the...
readily available. The other thing is, if you just want hoteliers to update information, this might be a really good thing to bring up at the Chamber of Commerce, because they're the ones that are supposed to be helping the businesses. And I agree with you about ramping up, not only you, but I know that for me, if I send people to wine tasting, or if I send my guests to go get a meal and the place is closed before it's supposed to be, it's awful.
Yeah.
Okay? So a lot of the times I call first because I've already had that problem. But if the restaurants would all get together and go to the chamber and have that on there, or just use the information the visitors center already has, you could get that information. I say the biggest problem that we have is, and I'm just talking about as a hotelier, is that restaurants and our retailers are not open the times that they post. They're closing early. They're, you know, not opening up on time. And, you know, we just go by what's stated. I look things up online.
You're
correct. Somebody asked me about Bayside Restaurant yesterday. They said, are they open for dinner? I went online. Nope, they close at 3 o'clock. You know, so our guests know that they can go there until 3 o'clock on a Wednesday.
I don't know the protocol if I'm supposed to.
Sure.
Go ahead. If I might, you're absolutely right. And part of the reason that they are closed is lack of information. They're guessing at what's going to happen, and that is part of the problem. I know I've sat there at 8:30 at night and said,
why am I open?
There's nobody been in for an hour, so you close and you say, you know. But I'm the information you're talking about from the visitor center, that is good, but here's the problem. People don't interpret information well. We are not looking for interpretation. We're looking for one number, three digits, four digits, says 75, just two digits, 75%. And that says compared to last month, last year, whatever, it's now 75%. It was 50% a year ago. So don't let my brain have to work hard. And that's, again, I'm bringing this to the Tourism Bureau. That's what this is. This isn't a hotelier. This isn't anything. This is tourism in general. And yes, the chamber has heard this. I have said it hundreds of times probably to various people. Just so you know, I'm now on the board of directors of the chamber just recently. So it's something we want, but guess what? We can't get it if you feel uncomfortable in providing that information. I don't know if you do, but again, just a simple number that's anonymous, but it's a consistent, say, 10 hotels or 12 hotels, because if you start to mix your hotels up, you're probably going to end up with bad numbers. Sorry, go ahead.
Ken, if you don't mind, I'd just like to say to the board that Ken is absolutely 100% right. When I worked at large hotels, a full-scale hotel staffs its restaurant based on what the occupancy is doing in the tower. Period. Period. That's how they staff for banquets. That's how they staff their restaurant, based on what the occupancy is, based on what the bookings are for the conferences. Period. And that's what you're saying.
Yes.
Your large reservations come in as your large reservations. That would be the conference part. Whatever comes in booking in the rooms, you need to staff your restaurant for.
Exactly.
I'm going to request that we put this as a future agenda item to see how we can skin the cat. And, Ken, thanks again for your cooperation and bringing it forward to us. I think that it's a terrific idea.
I agree with this 100%. I think you're absolutely correct. Even the data we give to the visitors, it doesn't show us how the other hotels in general. We don't want a name, of course, but mm-hmm. we want to know how the other hotels are doing versus us, or how the city is doing. So I think you're right. We should come with some kind of simple solution so everybody can get on the board and see at least where are we doing this weekend really good, or we're below the last year or so forth. And I think we need to work on it. And I agree with you. I think we should definitely put it on the agenda.
Okay. Yeah. And the only other thing that I wanted to add is Peter has been working diligently on an events calendar, an expanded events calendar, which I think will also be a good tool for all businesses in Morro Bay. And I think that's hopefully close to being launched. So look for that also. But I think your idea is great. Absolutely.
Can I ask my fellow board members, four of them, would you guys have problems reporting this information anonymously?
I think it can be. What we report now is they.
No. I'm just saying.
They could add two lines to their request, and it could go back, and they could do an anonymous report to the restaurants. The problem is either getting a restaurant database or figuring out how to contact the restaurants.
The question, very simple question, would you four report?
So it's clear. The Wednesday numbers were supposed to be such that the visitor center would know which hotel has room available. So that's right. So this way they would be able to refer and send people right places. So the tool is really two ways. So hopefully if we can get that, and then we should be able to definitely turn it around and take that data and say, what's the occupancy, and that number can be shared with everybody else.
All right. So maybe on the future agenda items, we'll have John Myers give us a report on that, how that's going. Yes. So let's move on. Our next item is the evaluation of Morro Bay Tourism Bureau and TBID bylaws to discuss adding board members. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, John. Let's move on to the treasurer's report.
Okay,
Mr. Myers.
Real quick, congratulations to everybody. Year to date, well, December was a fine month. If you look at your TOT reports, November was also restated because we were missing one property in November. So through 12/31/13, $11.8 million versus $10.6 million in revenue for the hotel years versus compared to last year, up 11.2%. We are now ahead of budget. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Budget was 10% growth. We're at 11.2.
Can you tell me what that, maybe you know what that meant? I'm looking for the report now. What it meant in extra dollars to the general fund to the city of Morro Bay, our partners in this? Above budget. You know, I can't find my report. I'm sorry. Thanks for sharing, guys.
Would have been about an extra $100,000 for the 6 months.
An extra $100,000 for the 6 months. That's terrific.
Because it will be 11, say $12 million in revenue for 6 months, 10 times that. That's motel receipts. So that's the city makes 10% of that, which is the TOT amount, so they would have made $118,000, $1,118,000, and the year before they would have made $1,060,000.
So, okay.
$1,180,000 versus $1,060,000, so it's up $120,000 for the year, for
great.
The 6 months.
So in 6 months, they've cleared their investment on the regional marketing fund.
Correct.
Terrific. Glad that we could partner like that.
Good point. Secondly, I sent out, and I apologize, the numbers went out last night, and they went out late because I was meeting with our accountant, George, yesterday afternoon. Again, that was my fault because I was out of the city most of the month, and we had to make a few changes before we sent these out to the board. I guess, first of all, if you look at the statements, and I hope everybody has them with them, number one, I'd like you to look at format. And at this point in time, I'd like to say between now and the next meeting or, say, in the next 2 weeks, if you have any questions or comments on format, let me know because we're getting down to the point of saying this is it. This is what it's going to look like. And I just want to point out, I mean, this is the most abbreviated format we'll see. If you get to things like line 84-200, community events, which shows $2,700 of expenditures there, that breaks down into Harbor Festival and 4th of July. And so you will have all the individual community events listed under that. This is just a summary line. So there's more detail that sits behind this. Karen had a couple of questions we were talking about before the meeting started. As an example, billboard expense, $2,600 under regional marketing and almost $1,800 under destination marketing. I apologize, those numbers are approximately correct. If you remember the financial statements we had last July, August, and September, they were kind of a listing of expenses. And so what we're doing is moving that listing of expenses into an organized list of expenses. And I'm certain that a few lines got consolidated into billboard, which probably shouldn't have been consolidated into billboard, or vice versa. There are some mistakes in here. The totals are absolutely correct. They balance to the bank statement, so the totals are absolutely correct. So there's going to be a few things like that are going to be off a little bit, but by and large, everything I think is looking reasonably close to accurate. I don't think there's any numbers that are substantially out of line.
May I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Mr. Budgeteer, like a mouseketeer. On the line that says membership, it's $84,700 there, the bottom line of expenses. It's a significant dues for them to be part of the CTTC is really high. I'm not sure how the rest of the board feels, but then to lump back chamber dues and stuff back in there, you don't really have a clear picture of maybe the director is a member of the Western Chamber Association or the Western Convention and Visitor Tourism Bureau Association. That would be reflected in there too. It just, to me, it's not apples to apples in terms of membership value. Just a thought.
We can absolutely break that out because you're right. The Visit Slow absolutely dominates that number by 99%. So we can break, and maybe that's a good way to do it, is break Visit Slow out as sponsorship and everything else becomes memberships. And then again, under the summary of memberships, you've got in the detail, you can see right. member of what. But we can break Visit Slow out as a sponsorship as opposed to a membership if you'd like. I'll go ahead and do that.
John, this
Thank
is really
you.
Great. Great
yeah,
job.
It's
honestly.
Fantastic.
It's the first time I see that we can really pinpoint every category and it's under the same, you know, under the account, and it's really easy to see what is regional, what is, you know, destination marketing, which is great. Thank you.
So what concerns me, and I was talking to John about it, called him last night and then briefly before our meeting, is if you look under destination marketing and then agency-directed expenses, our expenses are very low. I mean, John tells me his bills are being submitted, but I don't see it.
Well, that's a separate issue, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
Yeah.
Which address are they on?
Yeah.
But, you know, if that's... That's why John made the comment about website. You know, we have not been, love his billing and website has not been coming through. That's why website is low.
You may want to meet with him, I guess.
Yeah, well, we've already started, yeah.
I like the format. I think you've culled down to the essentials in terms of our expense accounts. That one of my questions was going to be, what's the difference between bureau-directed expense and agency-directed, because I didn't quite understand how agency could be so small. So you've just answered that question. The next step, I think, is to get it to budget versus actual. And then when we have a budget versus actual, when we see accounts that are skewed to budget, and I'm thinking specifically in this without having the budget, but under both Visitor and Tourism Bureau professional fees, total $9,300, then you could do detail reports for those accounts for us to include. So rather than actually making notes to an income and expense, we'd actually just have the details attached to this, and then we could see, when you have the detail printout, then you're going to see each item that goes into that account. So I think that would be really beneficial.
Yeah, literally,
great job.
Literally, for any of these ledger accounts, we can set up detail accounts. So at any point, if you want to track the information at more detail, we can. What happens when it goes into the bureau office and comes across Peter's desk, he's actually putting an account number or a sub-account number onto every bill before it goes in.
You can do 99 account under each sub-category.
Yeah.
You can put 99 in there, accounts. But the thing, I think, I do the same thing on mine. You could definitely put your budget in there, and then you just run a percentage next to it. You can always see where you are on your budget versus what your actual is.
No, and I think, you know, we as a budget committee have got to probably get together in the next few weeks also to start the budget process for next year. And we talked about it at our last meeting, but I think taking this format and then actually doing a monthly budget, so we can do, when we do a variance to budget, we can, you know, look at it across the year, not just a total number for 12 months, but a monthly budget.
Any other questions for John Myers? All right. Great job, John. Really very nice.
Thank you, John, for all the work you do on that.
Absolutely.
Really.
Yeah, really nice job. So
let's move on to our next item, the evaluation of the bureaus and TBID bylaws to discuss adding Bert. I don't really remember what this was about, but was it Jane that had brought this forward? Or?
Yeah.
Jane,
I defer to John.
Jane and I have been talking about this, and so we did make a subcommittee of two. We just had a running conversation for several weeks about this thing. And really where it comes from in my mind is, and please, nobody out there in particular get me wrong on this, but it's a Brown Act issue.
Mm-hmm.
That there's so many times when we need to have a business discussion among ourselves and we can't talk, or, you know, two or three of us can talk, but we can't talk to somebody else. And I'll use Hang to run, and we need to be able to talk and run that business. So what I'm thinking is, maybe there's a structural approach we can undertake and consider, and that's what I think Jane and I wanted to put out to you. You're thinking to see if maybe this might go to a subcommittee for further evaluation. But we currently have 7 board members here of the Tourism Bureau Board. We're all members of the TBIT board, and that's required by City Council. When we set the Tourism Bureau up, the council required that the same board members of the TBIT be members of the Bureau. And what I'm suggesting, and consequently, whenever, as I understand it, this group is not subject to the Brown Act as a Tourism Bureau, we're subject to the Brown Act because we're all members of the TBIT board. So whenever more than 3 of us get together, it's not that we've got a quorum of the Tourism Bureau board, it's that we have caused a quorum of the TBIT board, which causes us all to be subject to the Brown Act. So a thought was, is there a way we can still accomplish the spirit of the Brown Act, and then allow the Tourism Bureau to work as a business? and a thought came up, and this needs to be run by legal counsel, but I think it would probably work. If, for example, you increase the tourism, the TBID board to 11 members, and five of those 11 members, not a quorum, five, you would need six to make a quorum, were members of the Tourism Bureau Board, and then we brought in two additional people from outside. The Tourism Bureau, all or any number of the members of the Tourism Bureau Board could meet, and we would never cause a quorum of the TBID. And that means we could all talk at any time and conduct our business normal.
So the thought is that all we want to do is be able to run an efficient business here, because we're charged with spending money on behalf of our stakeholders in the best possible way and to bring in business. And I have felt that because of our Brown Act, we can't get things done in a better, timely manner. So John said, well, if we increase the TBID by X amount of members, then our quorum here increases. Okay? So, point is, if we have 11 members in TBID, and we say that if we do the increase, we have 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So we increase by three more hoteliers and one more, member at large, you know, from any place, then we can be meeting four of us, five of us, and make decisions, because we will have a quorum here to make those decisions.
You know,
it
kind of makes sense logically, but I think, you know, the structure we have set up here in Morro Bay is one that's been duplicated all over California. I'm sure that they've run into issues similar to this also. So it seems to me we need somebody, some legal counsel that is.
I agree. So what we would like to do is make a I would like to make a motion that we make a recommendation to TBID to hire legal counsel to review the bylaws to see if there's a possibility of, number one, increasing the membership on TBID, and number two, how that would affect, in Brown Act standards, the existing members of the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau if we're the same members that sit on the TBID board.
Okay, hold on one second. Karen, did you have...
Well,
I have to have a second to that.
Right, well,
and then if it fails, then we do discussion.
Okay, so you're officially making a motion?
Yes.
Then? Okay, is there a second to that, to Jane's motion?
Okay.
I'm sorry, Jane, I just need a little bit more...
Okay. No, my I need to make a comment here.
Nick has the floor, so I'm sorry, parliamentary procedure.
And I think you either have to determine that the motion
carries. Okay, I'm sorry, the motion did not get a second, so it failed. And so I just wanted to mention to Jane that I think we need to have a little bit more discussion before we get to a point of a motion. And I think Karen was next, then I'll go to Alex.
My question is, I think in our bureau bylaws, we have room to increase our board. If we increase our bid, then those people are going to come back into the bureau and be under the same restriction. All we're doing is creating a larger to the bureau.
That doesn't change anything. You
right,
still have
that,
a quorum
that's
of
where
the
problem
BID.
Is.
You still have a quorum of the BID.
I think your quorum is dependent on the number of people on your board.
Actually, of the BID.
May I?
Okay. Well, then I'd have to review the bylaws, and I have.
There's a couple of ways to look at it. I see Karen's point. One of the ways to look at that approach is that at some point this board is going to burn out, or phase out, or have our time be done, where we move on to different things. One of the ways of bringing in, and I've got the bylaws right in front of me. Thank you. There's a section on the appointment. The initial seven ex officio directors shall be appointed by the city. Thereafter, individuals appointed by the Morro Bay City Council to the Tourism Business and Bureau Advisory District will automatically be appointed as directors of the board of the Bureau. And then it goes down that we can appoint more people to our board, which is what Karen is talking about. If we bring more people up into this board as appointments into the Tourism Bureau Board, and we bring four more members or five more members up, three more members, whatever we determine, we could start with one or two, whatever we determine that we bring up, one of the things that we accomplish is that we bring a hotelier in or a citizen at large in or a restaurateur or a retailer in who may be interested in participating on the bid board in the future. They come in for a two-year term or something like that on the Tourism Bureau board. They get their feet wet there, and when one of us phases out or moves out, we have somebody who has the history and is ready to go, volunteer, understands the commitment, and be able to move forward with that. In terms of what that does is they attend our meetings here. They help us in terms of your Brown Act concerns. In terms of they can then step in and we can have a subcommittee of five people, four. We can have a subcommittee of four people that is not subject to the Brown Act because we've got two members and two ex officio members. And so we have a party of four who can determine, and they're appointed by us, and we don't have to change bylaws and go through legal counsel and da-da-da and all that kind of stuff. Although, I would have to say that I would double-check and bounce that off legal counsel with the city and make sure that that's fair. Absolutely, we need to make sure. The direction that you've suggested is the other way to go, to add members to the TBID board. What that does do is, in my mindset, does not get us around the Brown Act. What it does do is give us a larger quorum base. So if we add three more, what are we, seven? Sorry. if we add four more, we're at 11. And so six people are making decisions, but you still can't talk to the other five. You still can't talk to the other five.
At the TBID level, if you only have five people from the
If five people from the TBID came over to the Tourism Bureau, you could never have a quorum of the TBID at the Bureau level.
So you're saying that if we add members, I just want to understand this clearly. My question back to you is, if we add members and we go up to 11, five of us say we'll be members of the Tourism Bureau and the other six sit and just meet once or a quarter. A
couple of times a year, yeah.
And do we rotate them? Do they volunteer? How does that work?
The point of my city council as it is now.
Yeah.
Let me address Jones' point by increasing the Bureau board. Let's say we go from 7 to 11. Mm-hmm. And then let's say, okay, now we can have four people on a subcommittee. Mm-hmm. In fact, now we can have five people on a subcommittee. So Karen and I are in a subcommittee. We're on sustainable funding. And you two are on recruiting. Our subcommittees can't talk because if any one of the four of us talk, we have created a violent Brown Act violation.
Oh, yeah. The other members of our subcommittee. So,
just so that I understand, is if the other members of our subcommittee, because we're talking two and two that are on the bid, which is precluding us from talking to each other, if the other members on the subcommittee are not on the bid, can't they talk to one another?
So I've got to talk to Johnny to talk to Joan, and we've created a chain.
Okay.
Anyway, my motion, which I'm again going to pose, is I make...
So that what you're saying, it's a very minimum amount. If we have a director that is really fully functioning in charge, we already have set up the rules and all that in place to get the work done. And then we have the vice chair and chair having meeting on a weekly basis which we already decided to cover all the basic day-to-day decision-making. Now, I know we're in a process of hiring and there's some major issue, but this is not something I think we need to do on regular basis. So that's my comment. I think, you know, I think we maybe make it bigger than what it is. Again, if you go back to the issue of do we want to expand the board to have more people with different voice or experience, that's a separate issue. I'm not against that, but as far as decision making process, I think we have a good system in place. The part that I think we're getting hurt right now is because we don't have a director, and you know, we have to make certain decisions. We just have to do it in the committee, and the committees are, like you said, there's a little bit brownout, you know, issues. So I think if once we get moving forward with the hiring, I think a lot of that will go away. That's my opinion.
I agree with Alex. I think that if we have a good director and we have a strong line of communication through the chair and the vice chair, that you know, we shouldn't be having these issues through staff and chair and vice chair. I'm hesitant to look at doing anything with the bylaws right now and adding any members with all of the work we have, with hiring a new director, getting them in here, getting them used to the seven of us, and then us trying to get used to having four or five more board members and bring in that pressure and the pressure of a new chair and everything. I just feel like it would be a lot, not only on the board right now, but a lot to ask of a new executive director in terms of putting pressure on them. But that's my personal opinion. I'd like to see them come in here, get comfortable with Morro Bay, understand the community, get to know the community's needs, get to know the hotels, the restaurants, and everything that they're tasked with before we add in new layers, right?
Let me last try, and I'll give up. But as an absolute firm example, being on sustainable funding and having this hiring going on at the same time, I mean, my concern is that we are in process of possibly losing up to a third of our funding. And I have a serious concern about hiring an executive director while we're going to lose a third of our funding. I was not able to say that to any of you until we meet together as a quorum. And this has been going on all month, and I've been frustrated as crazy because I'm seriously saying, should we continue on this hiring process when we may not be able to afford a person? You know, because we could be left with somewhere around $430,000 of destination funding, destination marketing funding, and we're going to spend at least $100,000 of that, you know, between salary and benefits and so forth, plus another $25,000 with office expenses, just on the person and the office. We're going to spend another almost third of what we have left on personnel. And I'm concerned about moving forward with hiring an executive director until we've kind of figured out where we want to go on this sustainable funding decision.
Well, I think,
and my frustration, and the reason I bring this topic up, is to avoid that in the future. I'd like to say, let's take some sort of an action to allow us to be able to have raised this issue well before this.
Again, my whole motion was to just get some legal feedback on how, if let them review the first bylaws, these bylaws. We need legal feedback on operating under the Brown Act, depending upon board structure of each one. And that's what I want. That's all I want. If they say, forget it, it ain't going to work, that's fine. But if they say, no, you can do this way, that way, I think we will be able to work at this level more efficiently. There are many hoteliers out there that would like to serve on a board that doesn't meet every month or doesn't have meetings with subcommittees four times a week. Okay, I mean, next week alone, we've got the Tuesday meeting, Wednesday meeting, Thursday meeting, Friday meeting. Okay, but the TBID only meets once, twice a year, three times a year. So I would just like to have some legal counsel review this stuff and get back to me.
And I understand what you're saying, and I understand your points, and I think those are all good points. My feeling is we're kind of putting the cart before the horse here. And I think we are going to go
But the thing is, if I have a legal counsel to tell me there is no option, then we don't even have to waste any more time on it. And that has nothing to do with sustainable funding, and it also has nothing to do with hiring somebody. It's just reviewing our bylaws with an outside counsel.
Wouldn't it behoove us to have that new director of tourism be in on the conversation of changing the bylaws? So my what I would like to do is maybe table this for 2 months until we get somebody on board, and then look at it then.
I agree with that. I think less. You know, John mentioned, I think, to this point, I think we're in a process of hiring. We can't go here and make any assumptions. Mm-hmm. We've got to follow our rules. I understand also John's point, but I think, John, if you lose one-third of the funding, this board will not going to function period. We don't have money to do, you know, anything, and we probably should have dissolved this board and do something different if they're going to take that much money out of, you know, the funding. Having said that, I think we're moving in the right direction. Let's get somebody on board, then we can review. I'm all with you as far as maybe we should review the members and get more participation, but let's wait till we get somebody.
So maybe our April meeting we could look at this.
That's right.
Again.
Yeah.
Do we need a motion to look at it again? To look at it in April?
Right.
Did you still want to go?
Well, the point is, all I want you guys to understand is if you're postponing just having somebody review this for 2 months, then that means it's going to take them at least a month or more to review it.
Right.
The operation of I think we need to be more proactive.
See, the other issue is that
one thing has nothing to do with the other.
The other issue is that if we maybe ask the city attorney in this town to look at it, she's an interim city attorney also. So there's, you know, that issue also, unless we hire separate counsel, which would be probably expensive.
I was just going to suggest, seeing if we could get some help from the city attorney, even though she's interim. She is our city attorney at this point. And I guess it's a review of the bylaws and then a suggestion in terms of how increasing board affects Brown Act.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if that's what you're talking about, I don't have any, I mean, I.
That's all I'm talking about. It has nothing to do with anything.
Well, I thought you were talking about hiring an outside person. And that's
getting
a little
an
different.
Attorney. If we can use the attorney here, great. I would love to have that happen. That doesn't mean we don't have to pay them out of regional funds to the city. I have no idea. But we need to have counsel on how we can best operate under what we see as some problems.
Okay, and what I'm saying is if you can get the city attorney to do it, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But if you want to hire somebody, I do have a problem with that at this point.
I'm with that.
So, Jane, did you want to make a motion in reference
to
the city?
Okay, so I make a motion that we pose the question of review of bylaws of TBID and the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau District to the city attorney so that she can come up with some proposals keeping in mind a board increase so that we can act on the bureau level to conduct business without being stonewalled by the Brown Act.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any more discussion? I have a discussion. Who's going to contact the city attorney? Who's going to be the point? Are we going to have a subcommittee? Or are we going to have one person?
We have the liaison. We don't need a subcommittee. We have a liaison, which is Christine. We can write Christine, an email.
Mm-hmm.
Just that motion can go to her, and we can ask Christine as our liaison at City Council to please ask the city attorney to
so
get back to us.
Could we have you and John maybe email her? Or is that?
Can I hear the motion again, Peter? Would you mind?
What I got out of that was member Beeman moved to hire the city attorney to review the bylaws to determine if there's a possibility to increase the amount of TBID and Morro Bay Tourism Bureau members, and seconded by member Myers.
Okay, so she's going to be with a vote. There's a focus. There's a reason for reviewing them, and that is because we want to operate on the Bureau.
I think it was just a typo.
Correction.
Any other comment before we?
Well, the only comment I have on this, you know, I think if it's going to cost us, it's not necessary right now to spend additional funds. That's all I can say.
Well, my interpretation of it is not going to cost us because we're going to get advice from our, and she has advised us in the past also, so hopefully she'll continue. So I know she's busy, but. So any other comment?
So this is just a review. We're not moving forward right now with...
We're asking for a recommendation. We're going to tell her that we can't afford anything.
Just making sure that we're all clear, everyone. I'm just making sure that we're all clear that we're reviewing the two sets of bylaws.
All right. Any other comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
So was it Jane? You said aye, right, John?
Aye.
Four? Did you
aye.
Say aye?
Yes.
John, did you say aye? I'll say aye as well, so that's four?
That carries.
Okay, so it's five? Okay.
There's six listed, isn't
there? Oh, I'm sorry, six. Six yays and zero
yourself.
Nays. All right. So, let's move on to update from the Executive Director Hiring Committee, which is Karen, Joan, and Michelle.
Okay, so, folks, welcome back to a report. I hope you all got it in a timely fashion.
Absolutely.
If it came a little bit tardy, we're sorry. Let me find it. I'm sorry, I'm discombobulated today. Is that what it looks like, Nick?
That's one of the pages.
Hiring committee report. Okay, so yeah, right. So someone's rattling their resumes down there. For the public at large, I'd like to let you know that we are hiring a director of tourism. The subcommittee is myself, Chair Hawkes, and Member Biagini. And what the purpose of forming the subcommittee was just to move us through the hiring phase to get us through to the interview phase and out the other end. It did not mean that the board would not be part of the full process. It just meant that we were doing some of the legwork for the board. The purpose of the report is to bring the board up to date on the progress of the hiring committee. One, advertisements were placed through TJA in multiple channels, including trade, websites, print, and electronic publications. We had greater than 50 applicants, much closer to 60, that applied for our beautiful position, for our position in beautiful Morro Bay. The hiring committee met three times to thoroughly review each and every resume, cover letter, and applicant, and compare them to the job description and the desired qualifications that were set forward by our board and through the community process last time. Number two, 11 applicants were selected to be contacted for the interview process. Of the 11, 10 responded. One had the day prior taken a job in tourism somewhere else. So good for them. We selected the following dates to set full board interviews, Wednesday, February 19th, Thursday the 20th, and Friday the 21st. It's going to take up about 14 hours of the group's time next week. The interview schedule has been secured and was attached separately for you to block out. A complete pack of interview candidates and resumes has been supplied to you today, and people are opening it furiously as we speak. The interview process includes a schedule of questions that was sent to the board so that we can create a profile for each person. There were no comments on that schedule of questions, and they were attached in a separate file. If you have any questions that you would like to reword or something like that, I suggest that you get them to me by tomorrow, since they were sent out quite a while ago, and the deadline was last Monday. The recommendation of the hiring committee is we have pretty much several steps here. Number one, our number one recommendation is the hiring committee recommends that the board hold the scheduled interviews and then meet the following Monday, February 24th, or Tuesday, February 25th at 9 a.m. for a closed session meeting to select 3 to 4 applicants to move forward to a second round of interviews. We further recommend on number two that the second interviews be conducted on Thursday, February 27th, which we just recently scheduled a meeting for, or Friday, February 28th, which is now our open date, at a time to be determined by the hiring committee and the applicants as we work through a schedule. Even if it should occur, should be no problem for the board and the current marketing team that we have assembled. Conclusion, the DOT hiring committee believes that if committed to this process listed above, our tourism bureau could have an applicant selected by the end of the first week of March 2014. A background check would take 10 days to 2 weeks. The job offer contract negotiations would take an additional 10 days. Holding the schedule, the Tourism Bureau Board would likely have a person in position by the end of March 2014. At this point, Member Biagini and I will be happy to take your very positive comments.
Just okay. Could you kindly also add who, in addition to our board, is going to be part of the interview?
Our board.
No other.
Our board determined that our board, that was determined by all of you a month and a half or 2 months ago. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Maybe you missed that meeting, yeah.
We felt it would streamline it, and make it a quicker process if we didn't have a, you know, outside, yeah.
Anybody else have any other questions?
No, I think it's a doable schedule, although there's one day I won't be able to make it. But
It is a extensive schedule that we're asking of the board. But considering we had notice by the what is now the interim, around the 1st of November, I think, end of October, I think it's imperative that we move forward and get a new ED selected. So
I agree.
That's why we've, you know, created this like I say, fairly intensive interview schedule. And we're allowing an hour per, I think that was the idea, 45 minutes to an hour per applicant. So the two of the days aren't too bad.
No.
I should let the board know. I've heard back from three of the applicants, and we will be Skyping or teleconferencing in, so I do need to get with staff after this meeting and make sure that the star phone is working at the Tourism Bureau office and that the conference phone absolutely needs to work properly. So that and so I don't know how to work it, so I need to go there and
a little complicated, get it. But I did figure it out. It does work.
Okay, so we'll work together on that, Peter. Okay.
So do we know that with this schedule, you know, there's some of us won't be able to make some of the can we have at least four? Do we need at least four there at each interview?
I would think we would have to have a quorum.
Yeah, I agree.
By a show of hands, who can make the full interview schedule? So we've got Member Myers.
There's three.
Biagini, Solu. Okay, who can make the Wednesday interview schedule? Okay, so we've got five. And Member Jaquez is perfectly fine. She's going to make all three.
Okay.
Yeah. Who can make the Thursday schedule? Okay. Elbows from John. Who can make the Friday schedule? You're committed on Friday. Okay, who can make half the Friday schedule? Okay, so I think we have almost the full board every day. We might be down to six at a couple of hour
Thursday
slots.
Thursday, we should.
Okay.
Friday.
And so I think that we understand that the schedule is tight, and we understand that we trust our board members, and that if, you know, somebody from Wednesday, if you're not there and somebody from Wednesday moves forward to the second round of interviews, guess what? Lucky dog, you get to see that person anyhow. So there's plenty of opportunity for you to get to know the new applicants.
I also want to stress the point to the board that because the reason you're getting their resumes right now is it gives you a week to review, and it's going to be very important that you've reviewed these resumes before we go into our interview. That'll expedite the process during the interview. So,
Have you guys already checked their references and stuff like that?
No, we suggest in this report that we narrow the field and then that we hire an outside firm to do a thorough background reference. And
But on that's on the one you select, right?
And we don't do reference check beforehand.
One to two.
I don't think, did we do reference check beforehand in the last hiring?
No, that's a lot of work. We can hire out for that. That's a lot of money,
though. That's pretty onerous to ask in terms of.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, so basically from these people, we want to break down to two people or three?
Two to three.
And then do the background checks on the two to three and then move and then go forward.
No, we have 10 people. It would be our goal to bring back maybe four people to a second interview, take those four people and get them down to maybe two for a final culling, check their backgrounds, and then because you know you may have
and
people
most of
fall
these
out on
fact
so moved.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Any more discussion, comments, concerns? All those. Okay. Right. And very, very good job on this, too. Let's go ahead and vote.
Who proposed the motion?
All those in favor?
Pardon?
Who proposed the motion?
I moved.
And then Karen second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 6-0 pass. Okay. Stakeholders meeting, selection date and location. So I think last year, did we have it in April?
I think, honestly, we should do it after we hire the new person. That's probably the preferred, and maybe already have maybe budget in place, or at least preliminary budget for next year. Mm-hmm. Before that, I think it's...
So that's April then, because if everything goes on schedule...
That's my suggestion. I mean, it doesn't mean... Mm-hmm.
I think we did have... Wasn't it in April last year?
It was... Hang on. I can tell you I actually...
I have a question for the Sustainable Funding Committee, and that is, do we have to have feedback for them in a certain timeline or no?
We're having a meeting in 2 weeks on that.
We're having a meeting in 2 weeks, but what about the...
No, but they're looking for indication.
Yeah, but our stakeholders are the ones that have to get back to us, and if we just let them know... I mean, Johnny brought up a good point. If we just let them know in April, you know, she's basically saying that we should have mini meetings with the stakeholders to really bring them up to date to know what's going on with sustainable funding. And when we make our decision, pro or nay, it's not based on us personally, it's based on our stakeholders. So if we wait till April just to let them know about this, I mean, and then have mini meetings after that, then we're talking about maybe May in our next meeting having, you know, the vote on that. So I'm asking Sustainable, do they need to know before May?
I think we need to, I think it would be nice, let me just say it would be nice, we don't need to. It would be nice to have our meeting in March. We could then introduce a new director of tourism at one of the workshops that we may or may not be having about sustainable funding, depending on how well or poorly it's received. The stakeholders meeting, you know, we've done it before in conjunction with TJA or with our marketing agency. It's super straightforward. The chair gets up. They welcome the people. There's you know, we don't have to have a booklet and all this fancy stuff. We have to provide the budget, the media buy. There's like five things we have to provide, and we have to show where we've advertised this past year.
This is the past year media buy and budget.
Right.
So,
it's the past year.
It doesn't have to throw the budget committee in a turmoil. I think we have to have it done by March.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But we do have a media buy out through July that we show them and that kind of thing. So we are showing them some future and letting them know that, you know, by July 1, we'll have more future for them.
Right.
Knowing that July, they're not going to be able to meet. It's going to come electronically. So I think it's pretty straightforward, and we get a chance to let them know where we're at in the hiring process. We may, you know, may or may not in late March have somebody already in line.
And Karen did do the stakeholders last year, so at least she's familiar with the format and what
right.
we need to do to put this together if
right.
we get this going the first half of March, let's
say. Yeah, because last year I thought it was in April, but we actually had it in March 22nd of last year.
I couldn't find a menu of how it ran the three previous years, but I did find 2012's menu of what we did, which was a schedule. There was this one, which was last year's, and it doesn't have to be as complicated as putting out a very high-gloss book. This was 2012's, what we passed out. We passed out this overview. We stood up. We introduced ourselves. We showed a couple of overheads, and we were out. That's all we need. It needs to be simple and straightforward.
And this one will also include, obviously, this one will also broach the subject of sustainable funding.
Yeah. And
but
would,
other than that, I
but
mean...
It would, I think, the VCB presented back here, way back here, too. So I think they usually present.
I don't remember them presenting, but the comments that were made at and after the last annual stakeholders meeting was that we don't need to know what was. We need to know where we're going.
Mm-hmm. Then I'm okay with that. I mean, the only thing is we're not going to have a really meaningful information
and
to present.
And it might be a really good idea to do a second stakeholders meeting in the early fall or something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, we could certainly talk about that.
And John Myers and Michelle made a presentation to City Council, which was actually our annual report in January, I want to say. Didn't you do that in January?
Yeah.
And so everything is pretty much there in terms of all the budget stuff. Everything's pretty much pulled together. That annual report that you did is what the chair used to do and then just take that show on the road to the hoteliers. It's the same thing over again. And then it's just, you know, a meet and greet with the board and some pictures. I mean, it is pretty straightforward.
So I think what I think we need to do is
get
set a date.
Get your dog and pony ready.
And if we need to set up a committee or have an existing committee do it, then so what do we want to do? A date.
I think this month is over, so let's look for the month.
Yeah, it's going to be in March,
so
middle to late March. Because our T-bid meeting is probably the 13th of March.
Why don't we make it for the 13th of March?
On the 6th?
No, make it for the 13th as our as part of our bureau meeting for that month.
Yeah.
Combine it.
I think TBID would be in April, not March, because it's the month following the closing quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. Would be in April, not March, because it's part of the following quarter. But I also think that we have a little flexibility with our TBID meetings because we're actually only required to meet once a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we didn't have our meeting in January. So, you know, we could schedule a TBID in April. But it would be at the end of the month following the end of the quarter.
Combine the bureau meeting and would we have a short meeting before we actually had the stakeholders meeting, or would our stakeholders meeting just be the? All right. All right. So does you want to just do it on the 13th then?
Yeah. March the 13th. Do we need to make a motion on that?
I don't think so.
Before we, so we're selecting a date here, a proposed date of March the 13th. I'm wondering if we're selecting a team to work on it. I really think that it should probably be
That's the next one.
Well, it can all be in one motion. So I'm just wondering, are we selecting the transition? John, are you on the transition team? Because you just did the dog and pony show. So I'm wondering, can you just take your show on the road?
Yeah, that would be myself, John, and Michelle. So we'll just take
it
a little
just,
bit.
It just needs
down.
Some updating, that's all, sure.
So does somebody want to make a motion that we have it on the 13th, combine it with our regular bureau meeting, and have the transition team plan it? Or wherever. Anybody want to?
Let the transition team select the location. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Peter to select the location.
Okay. So moved.
Okay.
So moved. 13th.
Do I have a second?
Transition team.
Karen, second. Any more discussion?
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. All right. So, declaration of future agenda item. I have a memorandum of understanding with the city regarding the purchase of the domain name of morrobay.org. What's that?
Which is already been. Do we need to make a transition of our website also onto the new once we purchase this? Do we have any transition to be made by?
Well, I don't think so.
I contacted Jennifer Redmond, and she will hopefully be sending us the kind of the permissions.
Oh, I see.
And then we will be able to take the domain, move it to our platform, and that will be done by David Helmholtz. And also we'll be able to take the email tags, and we'll be able to have everything at morrobay.org.
So,
that's all in the works, so I'm not sure if it, you know, if an item needs to be made.
This is February anyhow, so it's going to be April before we discuss that, so all the backlegged work will be done by then.
Mm-hmm. But you need the events on there.
What the board originally moved was, if you remember, purchase it from the chamber and then gift it back to the city and then have a memorandum of understanding that while the bureau exists, the bureau runs the desk.
Yeah.
So February 20th. Report from the events subcommittee on grants.
It's not events; it's a grant fund. Our grant funding committee, because we're going to need to have that on for an agenda. You know.
I have a question.
Well,
have you received anything?
It wasn't.
Oh, you have.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
That's right. Go ahead.
I don't think it's an agenda item other than the report from the subcommittee.
Report.
There's nothing the board has to vote on. It was left to the subcommittee and the executive director to, I think the executive director made recommendations, and then the subcommittee heard the presentations with the executive director and made the decisions and then just reported back to the board. Now, is that scheduled at this point?
No.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you put it on, then we
can at least report on it. So it has to be part of the reports. Okay.
On the agenda.
Okay, so the grant subcommittee report. Mm-hmm. Any other agenda items? From March's meeting.
We're not having a meeting in March unless we schedule a special meeting. We just scheduled the, I'm just reminding everyone, we just scheduled the stakeholder meeting over the top of it.
I think it was going to be a stakeholders for a couple hours and then a bureau meeting for a couple hours, because I don't think we've got much of an agenda anyway.
Yeah.
For March. April could be a big one.
Well, we could do a little meeting prior, and then I'd rather do it before we have the stakeholders meeting.
Okay.
But the transition team will decide that, let you know. Any other items before we adjourn? Perfect timing, by the way. All right. So I hear a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Nick,
yes,
a couple of things that you need to flag to Michelle. Special meeting dates, end of contract, or the contract termination letter for you and Michelle, because you guys both have to sign it. Yeah, that's transition team.
It's supposed to, well, not me, to meet the schedule. Don't put it on me. Please. And then also we need to flag special meeting notice for next Wednesday, closed session special.